This is Classic FM Arts Daily. I'm Bob Jones. Today we meet two people who are involved in a great tumbling, rolling collaboration. They're great friends, one a musician and one principally a writer with a musical background. Together, French violinist Philippe Graffin and novelist Jessica Duchesne share a passion for co-inspiring each other's work. I caught up with them both at the Lake District Summer Music Festival back in July, where Jessica's one-act play, A Walk Through the End of Time, received its UK premiere. This one-act play about Messiaen's quartet for the end of time was specially commissioned by Philippe Graffin, who's the artistic director of the Consonance Festival in Saint-Nazaire. In the play, a man and a woman, formerly married but long divorced, meet for the first time in many years to hear the quartet, and through exploring its extraordinary history and the emotional world within the music, they seek to resolve their differences. The two have collaborated again on a joint words and music project, Hungarian Dances. The book, Hungarian Dances, is published by Hodder & Stoughton. A CD to complement the novel was released at the end of October. It's possibly the first time that an international soloist has based an original recording on a contemporary novel. I spoke to Philippe Graffin first and asked him how this collaborative friendship had come about.
Well, I met Jessica in her capacity as a musical journalist first. And in our first interview, we discovered we had a lot of interest in common, notably Forêt, then Chausson. And then we talked about a project which was to do with Pauline Viardot and the Chausson poem in a setting that I had discovered for string quartet, piano and violin. And then came this idea of the Messiaen Quartet for the End of Time. And I commissioned a play from her that we did in my festival for the opening of a new hall, which is based in a submarine base that survived the bombing of the Allies. And this play was quite a marvelous thing because it makes you hear the piece in a different way, the Quartet for the End of Time. And that's the few projects we've done, and now we have embarked on trying to make the music of a new novel, Hungarian Dances.
But just talking about that project, A Walk Through the End of Time, how did the two sides of things go together, the music and the play? Is one played before the other, or are they both simultaneous?
No, I mean, I didn't want to make Messiaen upset, so I kept the music as a whole, and the play is just gives, well, she has marvelous idea of how the piece had significance in a particular relationship of two couple. She manages to tell the story hidden behind the piece, how it was created in a prisoner's camp in Germany, in Görlitz. And so we discover a lot of information about how the music was came to life and what it meant to all the people that participated in the premiere, and the significance of a modern couple that has listened to the piece, beginning of their relationship, and they are going to listen to a concert after they have separated.
You say that you turned to her to find the words, I suppose, for this whole piece. Which way around does it work most? Did you just leave Jessica to create this work on her own, or how much was there a partnership? How much did you talk through the piece as it was being developed?
Well, we talked quite much about what other artists have been involved since the work of Messiaen, and how meaningful Messiaen's work is in relating to other form of arts, for example, Yves Klein, the painter, as well, and she thought also of Chagall. There's quite many things that we find that our relationship with Messiaen's particular image and world.
Now, there's also other projects which you've been working with Jessica on, and again, perhaps a little bit. You were able to move away from the Messiaen, and so I guess have a little bit more freedom in the way that you actually worked with her.
I think the Hungarian Dances, I tried to give her readers an opportunity to hear the pieces that she's talking about in the novel, but also I suggested some pieces that, since it is about a fictional composer and a fictional piece, that's some pieces that could fit the description of the music that she's inventing. Basically, she's in a way a little composer herself by suggesting a particular piece of music that doesn't exist. So I tried to match that.
And again, I'm interested in that whole relationship, where the inspiration and where the partnership is coming along. It sounds to me as if they're very equal.
Yeah, it's a dialogue, but actually it's a like a ping pong, you know. give and take between two capacities. I think what is amazing is how Jessica hears the music. She's a musician herself, she's a pianist, and how she hears the music and how it she feels whatever she listens to, and how she puts it into context and gives it meaning, a little bit like Host did with her with his Venturi Sonata, for example. So it was quite amazing. I was in her living room rehearsing with her pianist, and I was playing this Tornani piece that she didn't know, and she, as soon as she heard that piece behind the door, she thought, that's the piece I've been trying to describe in my book. So that's the piece that will open the CD that we made for Hungarian dancers.
The French violinist Philippe Graffin. Now, turning to the other half of the equation, there's seldom a dull moment in Jessica Duchesne's life, apart from the Messiaen piece and Hungarian dances. She has another novel due for publication in the summer, and she's involved in all sorts of projects aimed at getting people writing and reading. In September, she gave a talk at the Sage Gateshead about her music-based fiction. When I spoke to her, I noted that much of her work seemed also to revolve around the trauma and conflict and endless movements of European populations.
I think it's a terribly important, very current and very sometimes very disturbing and sometimes very inspiring issue. I think, you know, all drama comes out of conflict in a way. You're not going to have a good piece of theatre or a good novel if there's no conflict at the heart of it. And it's very interesting finding how these global conflicts are reflected or make different effects upon people who are experiencing their own personal conflicts. And sometimes you get cross currents going between them. Sometimes the one can transcend the other, or, you know, the worst case scenario, one destroys the other. But it's an endless topic that seems to rear up the whole time in endless different permutations, and I suppose we all just wonder what the next one is going to be sometimes.
When you are writing, did you find it easier that you did have that sort of multimedia side of things going on at the same time? Did you find it easier to get into the psyche of the people that you were writing about?
It did make a difference. I don't know if it made it easier, but it gave me a different way of working. When I started the play, I had done a huge amount of research into the background. That this academic book about the history of the quartet was hugely important in that. And I read around that as much as I could about Messiaen and the culture of the time, the art, and there's some spiritual issues in the play as well, some Eastern philosophies, some stuff about structure and authenticity. You know, there's a huge amount of information in there. But I didn't feel able to actually write the play successfully until I chucked all that out and just shut out the world, put the music onto my iPod and just shut myself up with the music itself, closed out everything else and kind of wrote in a state of, I was trying to get into a sort of self-hypnosis state with that music, I think. And I tried to use that material that I wrote listening to the quartet itself as the raw material. So what I had learnt through the research comes out in a different kind of way, and I think at a much deeper sort of subconscious level. In the end, the whole thing becomes about freedom and different concepts of freedom and how people achieve their personal freedoms according to their own personal systems.
Also, in the background, you're working on other things.
Yes, I'm on quite a sort of high productivity aim at the moment. My publisher wants currently a novel a year, and I'm trying desperately to get the next one polished up and ready in time for a release, probably in the spring. The title of the next novel is actually Songs of Triumphant Love. It's very much to do with conflicts in Europe. One of the characters is Bosnian and is a survivor of a war, obviously. And another of the characters actually joins the army and goes off to somewhere hot, sandy and nasty. In the meantime, it's in a way grown out of another project with Philippe, which was the Pauline Viardot and Turgenev show that we put together around the Chausson Poème. The Chausson Poème is based on a Turgenev story called The Song of Triumphant Love. And the central situation in the book is a way of kind of updating part of Pauline Viardot's own story. So that project has fed into this book very strongly, although it remains somewhat in the background.
It does strike me as though there's also a musical element to that as well.
Oh, very much so, yes. The next novel is basically about an opera singer who's losing her voice.
You are a musician as well, aren't you? You're a pianist.
I study the piano, yes. And every time I have to give a reading or a talk or perform my own play, as I have to tonight, I just tell myself, I don't have to play the piano and I feel better.
That's the writer and musician, or perhaps musical writer, or even music-based fictionist, Jessica Duchenne. Songs of Triumph and Love is again published by Hodder and Stoughton, and it's due for release in July next year. That is it for this edition of Classic FM Arts Daily. Thanks for listening. Join me again tomorrow.